Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of USGS Corecast. Today, we'll be talking with USGS scientist David Krabbenhoft about an article he co-authored in Science about the effects of global change on Mercury. Dave has studied Mercury for more than 25 years and was heavily involved in the work leading up to the 2013 Minamata Convention on Mercury, a binding UN resolution signed by 140 countries that regulates man-related emissions of mercury. We'll now talk with Dave to find out how the drivers of global change will affect mercury around the world. Thanks for joining me, Dave. Can you tell me about what prompted this article?
Well, my co-author and I, Elsie Sunderland from Harvard University, were asked by the organizers of the International Conference on Mercury as a Global Pollutant to put together a very broad description of how current global change drivers are affecting mercury across the world. And one of the primary motivations for this were a few very important mercury regulations and treaties that have recently been passed. All told, the inclusion of the United Nations Environmental Program, Minamata Treaty, with the United States Mercury and Air Toxic Substance Rule will have a significant impact on the amount of mercury being released to the atmosphere.
What are the major sources of man-made mercury?
Man-related mercury releases are currently mostly derived from electric power generation, specifically from coal, and more recently, particularly the last decade, mercury uses in the extraction of gold has greatly accelerated in developing countries and has in recent years outpaced the emissions of mercury from coal burning and is now the number one source to the environment.
In that context, how much mercury do we produce?
Well, currently there's about 2,000 metric tons of mercury that is released to the environment from all sources.
Looking out to 2050, is that number going to change or remain about the same?
Well, we have a hard time knowing with great assurity what direction the mercury emissions inventory will trend, but those that have studied that basically bracket the range of possible conditions in the year 2050 to between a best-case scenario that would be about 800 metric tons, and under that scenario, that would include full implementation of the Minamata UNEP negotiated accord that was recently passed in this past January, and that would eliminate about 70% of all man-made related emissions. And on the other range of that would be if we do nothing in the future between now and 2050, and we just continue at this current pace, and that would yield an emission estimate of about 3,400 metric tons.
What are the major ways that global change will affect mercury cycling and its impacts around the world?
Well, as my co-author Elsie Sunderland and I were thinking about that specific question when we were framing the paper that is being published in Science at the end of September, we realized that there were two broad categories of global change that could affect mercury cycling and impacts around the world. And those were largely going to be manifested through what we generally call climate change, and then those other factors that are also global change related but are more related to the non-climate factors, but those that are driven by man's actions. And so we broke the paper up into those two broad areas of driving influences of how we see mercury impacts to the world in the future.
What is the most damaging type of mercury as far as environmental and human health is concerned?
Methylmercury, which is far more toxic to all living systems.
And that should do it. Thank you for joining me. This has been another edition of USGS Corecast, a product of the U.S. Geological Survey, Department of the Interior.